Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer.
Hey, everybody. It is Joe. It is Friday, August 19th, 2022. It is 5:05 p.m. right now. It is actually the eve before the iOS Dev Happy Hour tomorrow. And if you haven't heard about it or joined, I suggest y'all head over. You can find them on Twitter at iOS Dev Happy Hour. It's an awesome community. This is not even like an ad or anything. This is just me attesting to how awesome this community is. Everyone just gathers once a month over Zoom, and I tell you, there's like about 100, if not 200 people joining. And this one's pretty special because if you all know and follow Sean, he is, gosh, I forget his last name, Sean Allen. Yeah, Sean Allen. How could I forget? Sean Allen. If y'all don't know Sean Allen, he's been doing YouTube, pretty much YouTube tutorials on iOS development, everything. He, just a quick rundown on his history. He pretty much started in iOS development through a boot camp, and then he got his first job through that. And from then, he's been like giving tips, sharing tutorials, you name it. I consider him to be like the Paul Hudson, the U.S. Version of Paul Hudson. He's a pretty cool guy. His tutorials are like awesome. Makes it easy. One of the best things I love about Sean is that the way he explains his point across is using analogies. And I'm a big believer in analogies. I get, you know, when I'm trying to understand something, I do so by, you know, give me an analogy or something, you know. So elephant in the room, it's been since April that I'm seeing here that I posted a episode. And since then, in that episode, I announced that I had gotten this new position as an iOS developer for this company that I'm going to, out of respect, not mention. If I mentioned the name in the last episode, oh well, oops. And if you want to know, check out that episode if I mention their name. But out of respect, I'm not going to mention the company's name, and I'll explain here in a second why. I also have a few topics to discuss in this one, and that would be using native frameworks versus third party, or just, you know, comparing the two, storyboards versus programmatic, and core data versus Realm. And this one I also got not one, but two people for who you should follow. And you'll see why. Well, you'll hear why. It's a podcast. You're listening. You'll hear why I chose two. So let me just get started off with, you know, again, last episode I announced that I had, you know, gotten an iOS developer position. And I can only, you know, if I remember, I remember how happy I was, how excited I was that it finally happened. But things got weird. Things got really weird. It wasn't what I expected as far as the company goes. So it's just awkward. So this company, now I'm going to be point blank. No, I'm not going to hold. I'm going to hold back a bit, but you know, I'm going to be, give it to you straight. So what this company does is that initially when I started with them the first few days, and I have already quit my other job again. I'm already happy because I left that job. I left that crazy schedule, and I was just finally, you know, I got the iOS developer position that I've been hoping for. Well, the first few days, I was given an assignment of creating screens for popular apps, and those popular apps and companies were Vimeo, United Airlines, and Nike. And they gave me this assignment that I needed to create views, or actually download the actual app. So I had to download United Airlines app, Nike app, and the Vimeo app. And they asked me to, okay, look at each one, and for each one, create three screens that you like. And also, let us know, you know, certain analytics of the app that you download, you know, that particular app. Like, when was it released? How many versions are there? What version are they on? Stuff like that. And I'm like, all right, you know, and I didn't ask any questions. I thought, okay, maybe this is their way of like measuring me up to see what I can deliver, just to, you know, see how analytical I can be, how detail-oriented I can be. So it took me, for these three apps, it took me about 4 days, maybe five, the whole week, to get these screens done. And I submitted them, and like the following week, I got, you know, positive feedback on how well I made them, and I made them through Swift UI, considering that it was just gonna be visual. There was no logic to run in the background. So I was like, what faster way than Swift UI to build these views? And I got positive feedback. And then they're like, okay, you know, so now we're going to, and this is their words, crazy. They're like, okay, so we're in the process. We're still in the process of putting together a resume for you. I'm like, okay. And I already had known that, you know, they were going to find me a client to jump on board with, based on, you know, my, you know, experience and all that. So when they told me that they were going to put a resume together, I'm like, okay, maybe they're just gonna get what I have now, the resume they have on file now, and maybe the views I created to show the client, hey, look, this guy has potential. He got the three apps of United, Nike, and Vimeo, and he made views from scratch, you know, this guy has potential, kind of thing. Well, I was reached out, and I was mostly at this time working with the HR lady, which is weird. I would have thought I'd be working with like some sort of technical manager or somebody in that position, not the HR person. And then she got back to me, and she said, "Hey, we put your resume together. Let us know how it looks. And also, here is what we want you to do. We want you to pretty much, in what the resume has that we're going to send you, pretty much recite, you know, let the client know that, you know, this is what my experience is. And also, when I tell them a broad explanation of what my experience is, tell them about my time at Vimeo, United Airlines, and Nike." And in my head, I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And they sent me my resume, and it was, you know, they used the screens that I had submitted, and they made this, and I, you know, point blank period, say it was just a fake resume. A resume pretty much explaining, you know, this is what I did for Vimeo, this is what I did for United, this is what I did for Nike, this is what I contributed, this is who I worked with, you know, this is what I got out of it, these are the technologies I worked with. And I'm just floored, you know. I feel like I was in another dimension. Like, what is going on here, you know? And little by little, it started sinking in, like, wait, so what they're trying to do is, you know, not even sugarcoating it. Lie to these clients, for me to lie to these clients, telling them fake information about me in terms of my experience with iOS development. They wanted me to fabricate. That's the word I was looking for. They wanted me to fabricate my my experience with Nike, Vimeo, and United Airlines, which, you know, if you've been listening to me for the past year, like, I don't have any experience at all. I haven't gotten my professional iOS development position yet. But they want me to fabricate this to the client that I speak to. And they started setting me up with clients. This is late April, early May, when they started setting me up with these clients. And at that moment, in late April, I'm like, you know, I'm already here. I've already quit my other job. This is all I have left. And if this is what it's going to take for me to get that first job, then so be it. Well, after about a dozen or so Zoom calls with clients, nothing was happening. And, you know, the results that I was quote-unquote promised in the beginning with this company is that within 2 weeks of signing on that I was going to have a client. And, you know, I'm a realist. I think ahead. And I'm like, look, if I don't get a job soon, I'm going to deplete my savings and I'm not going to, you know, be able to afford, you know, rent and all that in 2 to 3 months. I need something now. I need that cash flow. And it is when in early May, I decided that, you know what, I'm going to go back to my previous job if they let me join, but still do this other job until I get that iOS developer position. So thankfully I left on good terms and they hired me back on, which was the most awkward thing ever, because I knew it was going to be awkward. I just didn't know how awkward. But they were happy to see me. They were happy to have me back, because this took them out of the position of finding someone else and training them up and stuff like that. But it was more awkward going back to the people that I work with, because I already had, you know, sent an email saying my goodbyes to them and everything. And here they are seeing me again. And they had questions. And they were it was just so awkward to be in that position. Like, some people don't have boundaries, you know? It was just awkward. Like, okay, guys, elephant in the room. Yes, I said I was leaving, but now I'm back. Okay, cool. You know, can we drop it? Can we get over it and move on? No, some of them had questions. But I answered them as professionally as possible. even though deep down, I'm like, oh, why you gotta ask, dude? This is so awkward, but whatever. Anyways, well, I stuck with both jobs, and I tried making it work, having both of them. And the most hardest part was being able to juggle both, especially when I was working night shift, because this other company, they were setting me up with client calls. Interviews during the day when I'm supposed to be asleep. So here I am getting home by 10:15 the latest, and I may have an interview at 11. I may have one at 1 or 2, and at one point I remember having one at 4:30. And just to put in perspective, if you have a normal if you have a normal sleep schedule, you know, you go to sleep at 9, 10 p.m., wake up by 7 or 8. Imagine being woken up at 3:30, 4 in the morning to, like, prepare for a call or something. Or an interview at that. That's how tiring it was. That's how frustrating it was. And that's how it was in May. June came around, and I'm at like, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I can only focus on one job at the moment, and I'm going to focus on the one that's actually bringing in money. So I sent an email to the main manager, and I let them know, like, look, thanks, but it's not working out, especially with juggling two jobs. I can't do it. So with that being said, I decided just to, resign from your company, and I'm just going to focus on this other one, and on my own, just continue building projects, learning more, just to make myself a lot more marketable. And again, thanks, but no thanks. And the HR person called me about a couple of days, a day later or so, the day after maybe. And she explained that she really didn't want to see me go, that she was really adamant about finding something for me soon. And that if I just gave them my work schedule, maybe even a schedule where they can work around with that, you know, we can try and make it work. I'm like, okay, if you're really that adamant, let's go that route. So I made them a schedule, and I marked down the days that I can and cannot take calls. And in a sense, it kind of was like useless, because they would reach out to me on days that I marked down not to reach out to me, on days that I couldn't take calls. And they just reached out to me like a couple of days before I was off on my off time. And they were just wanting to make sure that I was still available for those upcoming days, because they had clients who were very willing to speak with me and take an interview with me. And that was frustrating, because I'm at work, I'm focused at work, and here is my phone just vibrating constantly. My family, my friends, they know my schedule, so they're not bugging me. They know what time to call me or text me, you know. So it was just really frustrating to have this other company reaching out to me when I told them, you know, that those days weren't good to contact with me or make contact with me. So that's, I guess, when the buildup of frustration and just like, okay, I try to make this work, but it's not working out. And April, late June, early April came around, and even though I already had told them, like, look, these upcoming days on my off time, I can take calls and everything. However, I realized that I had not set time to go visit my sister, to go visit her in the summertime, like we've always done. So I booked a flight to go see my sister, and I was going to stay there for a week. And I reached out to the other company saying, hey, look, this last minute trip I booked because I realized that I hadn't booked it yet. And, you know, I guess it's last minute, but I've always taken this trip every summer. And I sent them a new schedule. And they were like, hey, you know, we see that you're going to be on the plane these two days when you're leaving and you're coming back. You know, is there a time that we can set in between so you can take calls? I'm like, look, you know, this is actually like vacation for me. So I'm not taking my computer with me. I'm not taking my iPad with me. I'm just taking my phone, my charger, and that's it. And they're like, okay, we understand. So like not even the day before I was flying to come back to Houston, to come back home, I get a call from the manager asking, or from the HR person asking, if I was still going to be available after I come back from my trip. And the thing is, I didn't answer that call because, again, they were calling me on days that I designated that I cannot take calls. So why are you calling me? So they're just like revving me up. They're just like pissing me off even more. And at that point, me and my sister, we were at this bar, and you know, obviously drinks are being had. And at that point, I guess my emotions got to me, or the liquor. I just don't know. Maybe the liquor got to me and then my rage. But I was like, you know what? I'm done with this company. I'm done. I'm not even going to tell them I'm done with them, because I already did last month and it didn't get through their head. And what's the point? I know if I tell them I'm done with them this time around, they're just going to like start, you know, making excuses, or like, you know, trying to convince me to stay with them. So I pretty much ghosted them. I pretty much ghosted them. Like, I got so many calls and messages, and that, you know, they're still unread at the moment in my phone. And so, yeah, I've just been with my, I don't know if I could say former company. I guess so, because I did leave them, but I'm back with them. So I'm only employed by one company now. But I'm from here, I want to segue to like one of two things. I just don't want to forget. I actually do not have some notes, podcast notes. I just hit the record button and I started recording. So what I've been doing since is applying on my own again. You know, the major outlets, job boards, Indeed, LinkedIn, I mean, you name it. So I've been doing that. I also improved my resume because, and this is the second thing that, one of two things, the second thing that I wanted to bring up, even though it was a bit negative, this experience, I got a lot out of it, especially what a lot of companies and clients are looking for in an iOS developer. And I won't get into the specifics on that, but I kind of took advantage of that because I made a list and I'm like, you know what? I can really touch base on this list and, you know, just read up on the topics. For instance, and I know I said I wouldn't go into specifics, but specifically a couple of things here, like Combine and RX Swift. Grand Central Dispatch and Semaphores. Like, I didn't even know about Grand Central Dispatch and Semaphores until like I started doing these interviews that pretty much led to nowhere. But again, a lot of these things, I really got. I made a list of what these companies are looking for, and that I can use that to my advantage and study upon. And I'm thinking of making an article, and I actually started the article about a few weeks ago. I listed what I learned and what these companies are looking for, and I think I'm pretty much halfway, if not three quarters, through the list and writing up this article. And I hope to have it soon, just because, you know, that way that I still remember these things, I could just jot them down in the article. But yeah, and one of the things that I got into that I took out of this list was persistent data, the use of core data. And these companies, a couple of them that I interviewed with, yes, they asked me about core data, what I knew about it. But they also asked me about Realm and if I've used it or if I have experience with it. And I'm like, no, I've heard of it, though. I heard it's, you know, an alternative to core data, but I've never had the pleasure of learning it. Well, guess what I did? I actually learned it and used it. What I did was create a clone of the Clear app. If you're not familiar with Clear app, it's pretty much a fancy to do app. And I started off by making one version that's core data. And then when I started reading more upon Realm, I was like, wow, Realm is a lot easier, based on what I was reading. Realm is a lot easier to implement. And I read upon, you know, how quicker it is in terms of querying data. And So I was like, yeah, I just made the I made a version of Clear using Realm, and then once I'm done with that, I'm going to continue on making a version that uses Core Data. And rest assured, I'm going to put these up on my GitHub, and guess what? Bam, I have two apps, one that uses Core Data, one that uses Realm. The next time I interview, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, I made two versions of the Clear app. One using Core Data, the other one using Realm. And, you know, if they ask me, you know, because I know they're going to ask me just to see how, you know, if I really, you know, studied it and learned it, and I'm pretty sure they're going to ask me which one I prefer. And honestly, yeah, I prefer Realm. It's really cool. It's a lot easier to implement. So yeah, I think if anything, the positive I can take out of it was getting to know what companies out there are looking for. And, you know, this also jogged a bit of a debate that I see a lot online, and that's people asking, you know, what's better, you know, using pure native libraries or, you know, implementing third-party ones. And I've always been an advocate of using native, and I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before in previous episodes, but I've always been an advocate of using native because a lot of companies out there, a lot of their apps, it's all built using native code, and especially apps like that use networking layers. I'm sure they use URL session and the JSON decoder. And a lot of people swear by Alamo Fire and Swifty JSON, which are awesome libraries. They make life easier, but a lot of companies out there, they just stick to native because and this is the downfall, one of the major cons that I've heard about using third party is that a lot of these third party frameworks are not updated, are not taken care of to be compatible with the native language that you're injecting them into. So, you know, like Apple, they have URL session, JSON decoder. You know, as iOS matures, so does their code base, you know, so it's less prone to errors there. And, you know, honestly, it kind of changed my mind on this, this debate here. Like, yes, I'm a big believer in still using native libraries, especially when working with, network layers and, you know, deserializing JSON. But like when it comes to like Core Data and Realm, like I wouldn't mind using Realm. And one of the things that makes me comfortable saying that is that just based on the documentation that I read upon, like they really update it like very often. Very often they really take care of the library, and it makes me a little comfortable, you know, knowing that if I implement it in a personal project, or if, you know, hopefully some company hires me and they're like, hey, Joe, you know, which do you recommend, Core Data or Realm? I'm like, well, you know, Core Data is very dependable because it's a native library, but, you know, Realm is pretty sweet. It's a great alternative to Core Data that I'd be very comfortable to implement in the project. So in this case, when it comes to persistent data, I wouldn't mind jumping over to the third-party library boat. And in this case, use Realm. I've also read up on, you know, now Apple has CloudKit, where you're able to back up your Core Data data to the cloud. But now Realm, because they're an entity of MongoDB, another awesome cloud database, an alternative to AWS and Firestore, Google. Realm, they have a feature called Device Sync, and it's pretty much, you know, the same as CloudKit, where you implement Device Sync and it'll back up your data, your Realm data, to the cloud. So it's pretty neat. That's another thing that I have on my list to learn. And also, on the opposite side, I'm looking forward to learning core data and using CloudKit to backup data in that front. So moving on to the storyboards versus programmatic. When I started learning UIKit, obviously, I mean, as a beginner, you want to learn the quickest, you want to learn the easiest, and what better way than learning was to use storyboards. And it's great, but over time, as I started to learn more and more, I found out that using storyboards can like really weigh heavy on an app's, footprint, and how fast it builds, and you know, it can weigh a lot on that. And you know, when I wanted to learn programmatically, and I saw how much typing there is, I was just like, that's not for me. I'd rather just stick with storyboards. But over time, again, when I saw the beauty of programmatically writing on an app and like constraining it, you know, and using the views, bounds, and you know, just laying the auto layout with it programmatically, yes, it was a lot of typing, but it looked a lot better. It ran a lot smoother, and essentially, you can build your apps on devices regardless of their size. So initially, you know, you can build an app that you started off with, you know, when iPhone 8 Plus was out. I mean, just with a few lines of code, you can still make it nice and pretty, you know, on an iPhone 13 Pro Max. It'll look just as nice. You know, if you really take the time to learn programmatically, and honestly, if you like Swift UI, think about how much typing you're doing there. And if you're good there, you know, why not take a chance and programmatically make an apps UI kit, and, you know, programmatically typing them out. And honestly, if you look up, what's his name? Stefan Dallas, he has a YouTube channel. He also has Udemy courses, and in his Udemy courses, he'll link you to his website where you can buy the full featured tutorials he has. I really love his teaching style, but also the way he programs, because he does it all programmatically. And I think at one point, I think he has this Uber clone tutorial on Udemy, which I believe may be the full version of the full tutorial, because what his business model now is that he puts out a tutorial in Udemy, but he doesn't put out all the content. If you like want to make your app more sophisticated, you got to go to his website and download the full tutorial there. But I think the Udemy course that he has on, you know, the Uber clone app tutorial that he has on Udemy, I believe it's the full version. Now, where am I going with this? Well, in that particular tutorial, he actually helps build you an extension for constraints, and he makes it a lot easier, to the point where like you can make this extension, you can import this extension file over to another project and use it there. And that way, you know, it's quite possibly a lot less coding thanks to this extension that he has. It's pretty cool. And I actually, I just really need to go back to that tutorial and like export that extension. Because yes, I like Swift UI. I like working with Swift UI. I'm actually working on a Swift UI app being built using iOS 16, upcoming iOS 16. But the only reason I'm using, you know, the Xcode beta and iOS 16 is because I'm using the WeatherKit framework, but that's a different podcast. But yeah, I'm like, you know, okay, just like native versus third-party frameworks, I'm like really swaying over a bit. I'm committed to learning more, a lot more trashing the storyboards file and starting projects programmatically. As a matter of fact, one thing, a little tip here. When I knew that I wanted to start making apps programmatically, I knew that, you know, if you don't know this, you have to do some code in the app delegate and the scene delegate files. And, you know, it's very repetitive. So rather than just like having to type this code over and over every time I start a new project, I coded or I saved a code snippet. And I save the code snippet when it comes to creating a project that's going to be embedded in a navigation controller, in a tab controller, or, you know, just one without having embedded, without being embedded in either. So I created three code snippets pretty much. It's just as easy as typing out project with navigation controller. And I select that, hit enter, bam, all the code just pops up. And it's pretty sweet. Like, you know, yeah, you can like memorize what code you need to type, but you know, you can't memorize everything in the coding world. So, you know, code smarter, not harder. So do yourself a favor, start learning how to do and save code snippets. So again, really, really motivated to start learning more, building apps programmatically and not using storyboards anymore. And just, I know I'm just, I'm trying to like move on from this topic, but just, you know, the things, the greatness of programmatic coding, it just comes to mind as I'm trying to segue over to other things. Programmatic, like when you do apps programmatically, you no longer have to worry about storyboards, and you no longer have to worry about, you know, the, you know, XML files and the conflicts that come with using storyboards. So that in itself, it's a godsend. I'm just over the moon about learning more and programmatically making my apps. So like I said, in this episode of this podcast, wow, my mind, it's the afternoon. I wanted to showcase two iOS developers. And the reason why two is because they're pretty special. They're a husband and wife couple. You got Mr. Brian Anderson. He has the Twitter handle of Say Hello Brian. Again, that's at Say Hello Brian. And then you got his wife, Kennedy Karen A. Her name is Kennedy Anderson. And her handle is at Kennedy Karen A. Don't worry, I'll have these handles in the podcast episode description. They're pretty cool. I mean, this is a power couple here, the way I see it, in the iOS development world. I mean, what better way to like build an app or learn how to like do iOS development than, you know, your best friend, you know, your spouse, you know, learning together and, you know, putting together an app. And that's what they have here. It's an app called Recollect, and it's pretty much a diary and a journal app. And it looks very, very interactive, very user-friendly, very simple to navigate around. And you should go give them a follow, check out their app. Again, that's Recollect. It's a diary and journal app. All right. Okay. Whew. Wow. I just vented. I feel like I just vented this whole podcast episode, but I kind of needed that. I wasn't upset with it anymore. You know, I had just let it go, but you know, I don't know. I still had some residual emotion in there that now I feel better. I feel good going into the weekend, and you know, I have a clean heart, clean mind, clean soul, and looking forward to the iOS dev happy hour. I think I might put this episode, I might load it up tomorrow morning after I edit it, and you probably won't hear it probably till Monday. But I encourage you to check out the iOS dev happy hour online. Again, they're on Twitter. And again, I'll make sure I put this, this information on the podcast episode notes. And check them out, follow them, and just make sure you ding that bell when they announce when the September event will be scheduled. So highly encourage you guys to check them out, follow, and participate in the iOS Dev Happy Hour, and look out for me. I'll definitely be in there, and don't be shy to say hi. So I hope everyone's doing well. Again, I know it's been a long while since I posted, but I'm just trying to after all this time, I'm still not finding a good schedule, and I just have so much. I dedicate a lot of time to iOS development, just bettering myself. And I hope you all are too. I hope you all are making great strides. You're learning a lot. And I hope this podcast finds you well. And until next time, be good to yourself, be good to your friends, your neighbors, and happy coding.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening to this episode. If this episode brings you any value, do leave a review, and if you have time, a comment. Your feedback is greatly appreciated and will help me produce future episodes. If you'd like to leave me a voice message, which I would greatly look forward to, head over to anchor.fm/myswiftjourney, click on the message button, and record away. I look forward to your messages. Happy coding.